In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
It's time to prevent yourself from being hacked. It will likely happen in your lifetime. Coming up, setting up your own smart home security system and the right way to do it.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. As the recent hijacking of more than 100,000 networked cameras and DVRs has shown us, we're all living on fertile ground for hackers. These days, it's safe to assume that basically anything that's internet accessible is hackable. There's no way around it. So here to break down some tips to help you set up your smart home defenses is WSJD's Nathan Olivares-Giles. Hey, Nathan.
Hey.
These days, it's safe to assume that, yes, we can probably get hacked. So for folks ready to amp up a smart home security setup, what's the first step we should take?
Well, I guess, really the first step you should take is really accepting that you can get hacked, not being like totally afraid of it either. I guess acceptance is kind of a funny thing to say, but that might be the first thing to do. If you haven't bought anything yet, a good place to start is really taking some time to research. Like, don't just walk into Best Buy and pick up, whatever camera or lock or, smart toaster or whatever you think is coolest looking. Actually do some research and take a look at, how open the company that makes the product that you're interested in has been about past privacy breaches or issuing security updates, how often they update their software and their apps and things like this. Get kind of a feel for how attentive these companies are to the issue of security, because, like you said, the simple fact is that things are going to get hacked, and it happens.
Right. And in covering the latest hack catastrophe, a word that's coming up a lot is firmware. How do we update that and make sure we're doing everything we can on that front?
Yeah, well, every device that you buy, whether it's, an internet-connected camera or something else in the smart home world, an internet-connected thermostat, there will be instructions with those devices on how to update the firmware. Usually, the best companies make it really, really simple. So I have a Nest thermostat in my apartment. It's connected to the internet, and I can control it remotely with my phone using an app. If I want to, turn up the heat or air conditioning or whatever, I can do that. On the device itself, it's really easy to update the software there. It's actually one of the options that you see every time you use the device. In whether you want to set like an away mode or you want to change the temperature or whatever you want to do. The best companies will make it really, really easy for you. And that might be a good flag. Like, if you buy something and you're trying to figure this out and you can't, that might be, time to get something else or take it back for a refund if you can.
Let's talk passwords. A lot of us, and I'm certainly guilty of it, use the same password for many, many different logins. So what should we know about passwords, how to go about just doing it the right way?
Well, the very first thing you should do is anytime you buy really any device, not just a smart home device, but definitely with smart home devices or even like the internet router that you get from, whatever company you're paying for internet service for or Netgear or whatever you buy, they're going to come with default admin logins and passwords. You always want to change those. Mm. It's like the first thing you should do is after you set it up, go in there and change the admin username and password. It's something that's unique to you. The reason being is a lot of these defaults are the same across all of these different products. I mean, you got to remember, these companies are trying to sell millions of these devices to people. So that's the first thing you should do. Mm-hmm. Now, it is kind of tough, but you have to take the time to use a different password for all your devices and accounts if possible. Now, that means using, capital letters, lowercase letters, some numbers, and then, something like an exclamation point or a hash symbol to kind of mix things up. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to do something somewhat easy, you can use part of a password that's the same and then change other parts, but that even still leaves you a bit vulnerable if it's something that people can guess, and you really want to try and avoid phrases that that people are going to be able to guess, like, you know, your brother's name or your dog's name, something that someone could find on Facebook, basically. Now, if this is just all too overwhelming for you and troubling, there are password managers like Dashlane and other services that can really, really help. And it's worth looking into those and seeing if that's something you want to invest in. Apple also offers what they call Keychain, which is a service built into their operating systems of their phones and their computers that remembers the passwords that you have for you, but it can also create passwords for you and make sure that those passwords are secure. And then all of those things are hidden, protected with you using like the Touch ID fingerprint sensor on your phone and two-step verification on other things like that. So there are ways to make this easier for you because, hey, you know, for everybody, passwords is really kind of a pain.
So we all have so many interchangeable devices, so many different things that we connect to. Is it worth creating a network for all of those things?
Yeah, that's actually a tip. I spoke with a few security researchers in putting this story together, and that's a tip that a couple people brought up, was creating a separate Wi-Fi network for your smart home devices. This way, if you know that worst case scenario happens and that home network got breached and your home devices were taken over or hacked or misused, there wouldn't be access to your PC or to your phones and tablets or to the other devices that you have running on the internet in your home. So that's a really simple, easy way to do it. Just create two Wi-Fi networks and then put all your smart home stuff on one.
You know, one thing I thought about, a lot of people don't necessarily think about the fact that their cameras can leave them susceptible to hacking as well. What should we know?
Well, basically, you want to think about where you're pointing that camera and take some care with that. So all of the security experts I spoke to, none of them put cameras in their bedroom. None of them put cameras in their children's room. Now, of course, there are some products out there that are cameras that can be baby monitors and things like this. And if that's something you want to take on, that's totally fine. It's a choice. Just realize that, you know, if someone did break into your camera and they were seeing what you're seeing, that's what they would see, whatever it's pointed at. In the same way, if you have maybe like, you know, an iMac or some kind of desktop computer in your home or your laptop, a lot of security experts advise maybe putting like a little sticker over the camera there as well, because those sorts of things could be taken over by hackers if they wanted to. This isn't always like a super common and popular, if that's the best way to say it, problem, but it's definitely something that could happen. Recently, there was a hijacking of more than 100,000 networked cameras and DVRs, and all made by the same Chinese company called Dahua. And basically, what the hackers did was they took over these cameras, and then they flooded security companies with all of the information that was being sent from these cameras, which overloaded their servers and basically put them out of commission for a while. Now, the end users whose cameras were being taken over, they didn't notice a difference because their camera was working fine on their end, and it's not like it was, you know, freaking out or making any weird noises. But on the other side, it was being misused. So sometimes some of these hacking attacks can happen, and you might not even realize it.
Wow. Let's talk our service providers. Can they be of any help?
They should be of help if they're worth the money that you're paying them, to be quite honest. If you ever have any questions and you're just like, listen, you know, it should be easy for me to update the firmware on this device, but I don't know how, or I'd love to create a second network, but I'm just not sure how to do that, you should be able to call up, you know, whether it's ADT if you have them for home security, or whether it's Comcast for your internet service, or Nest for your internet-connected thermostat or camera or whatever you have. They should have these sorts of resources available to you. Oftentimes, there are guides online that can explain how to do these sorts of things. But if you're not sure, don't be afraid to pick up a phone and try and talk to a real human being and get someone to walk you through this. And again, you know, if they're not offering that to you and they can't answer your questions, then they might not be worth the money you're paying for, and it might be time to figure something else out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause for just a quick moment. Still ahead, the final step in perfecting your own personal home security system.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.
And we're back talking smart tech home security systems and how to do it just right. With us is Nathan Olivares-Giles from WSJD. So Nathan, last question, and this is something that I think a lot of people can relate to, just having a lot of old hardware devices that we're just not using or maybe not using often. Should we be thinking about those types of gadgets?
Yeah, right now, the smart home, it's been around for a few years now, the Internet of Things, there's lots of different buzzy names for this sort of technology. But really, it's still kind of in a very early stage. Bringing Internet-connected devices like thermostats, like cameras, things like that into your home still isn't super mainstream. Most people aren't doing this. So to a certain extent, if you're taking this stuff on, you are a bit of an early adopter. With that being said, you have to understand, what you're taking on in terms of what these companies are doing. They're releasing new devices every, 2 or 3 years, basically, sometimes even as frequently as every year. And most that are worthwhile will keep up to date the software that's running on these devices, and they'll support them for a long time. Nest is pretty good about this. Philips Hue is one of the more popular smart light bulb solutions out there, and they do a really good job on keeping their stuff up to date for years on end. But others are actually really terrible at this. So you might have to upgrade every 2 or 3 years if you take this sort of stuff on right now. We're not at a point yet where you can just buy something and leave it in the corner for a decade and it's going to be just totally fine. Even if you did hold on to something for a long time, you're going to want to make sure the software is up to date. And, it's good to maybe check every couple months and just kind of see, do a routine check and see if there are some new security updates out there for you. The apps that tie to these devices should be sending you notifications when there is such an update, but it's good to do that yourself and be diligent about it. But unfortunately, there are no real standards. Like when you go and buy a car or something, the manufacturer of that automobile has to make parts for a certain number of years. Mm-hmm. It's a federal standard. There's nothing like that for smart home devices yet. So you're taking this on, and the company could ditch it in 6 months, or they could take care of it for a few years. And right now, it's not always promised.
Wow. Great tips. Really important things to think about. Nathan, thanks as always.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Once again, that was WSJD's Nathan Olivares-Giles. You can check out his full comprehensive rundown at WSJD.com. That'll wrap up the tech news briefing for now. For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.